Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
All right. Hey, good morning and welcome to Lighthouse Community. My name is Fritz. I'm one of the pastors here. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yes. Hey, do me a favor. Would you guys help me welcoming our online campus, Lighthouse Online? Would you let them know? We are glad that you are with us today. Yes, yes. Super excited. Hey, if you brought a Bible with you, I'm going to ask you to open up to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter's at the back of the Bible right after 1 Peter. If you got a phone, you can just click over there to 2 Peter. We are in this series called Four Keys to Spiritual Growth. And so last week we looked about what faith is. Next week we're going to be talking about counterfeits. Week four, how to look ahead. But today we're talking about truth. Especially in light of growing spiritually. And here's my question to start off with, just to get you to think about it. Do you have a plan to grow spiritually? Do you have a plan to grow spiritually? The reason I ask that question is because I run into too many born-again believers who think that, who believe that spiritual growth is just automatic. You just live your life and it happens. It takes place irrespective of decisions that you're making, things you're intentionally doing, unintentionally doing. As long as you're living and you're breathing, then you are growing spiritually. And it just happens automatically. And I actually believe that this thought that spiritual growth happens automatically is one of the reasons that you may be feeling frustrated in your walk with the Lord. Maybe one of the reasons that you actually feel stuck. It may be one of the reasons why you feel defeated by compulsive sin that is just present in your life. And so what I want to talk a little bit about today is that if you're desiring to experience freedom from sin, if you're desiring to experience growth in your relationship with God, it's going to come through you taking intentional steps of trusting the Lord in your life. This is actually what it looks like. This is what spiritual growth actually is. It's intentionally putting yourself in positions to trust God and allowing Him to show up in your life in remarkable ways. And so, right, it begs the question, well, how are we going to do that? How are you going to grow spiritually? Well, today's key to spiritual growth has everything to do with that, and it's all centered around truth. So we're going to dive into this second key to spiritual growth. We're going to jump right at 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 12 and read through the end of the chapter, and this is what it says. If you want to follow along on the screen or in your own Bible, that is fine. It says this, Peter's writing, "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with Him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a shining light, as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." And so one of the key things that Peter is sharing with these believers in his letter is this: remembering truth is critical to spiritual growth. Remembering truth is critical to spiritual growth. Multiple times in just a couple of verses, right through verses 12 and 15, Peter says, I will always remind you. This is a priority for Peter. I want to remind you about the truth that you already know and that you already have. He says again, it's right for me to refresh your memory. It's right, it's good, it's proper. Now, when he says, I want to remind you, when he says, I want to refresh your memory, what he's saying is, I'm going to be an outside influence that stirs up remembrance from you. So I'm from the outside, right? I'm not living in your head, I'm not living in your body, but I'm from the outside and I'm going, hey, remember these things. Remember to add to your faith these things. Remember that it was through the grace of Jesus Christ that you came to faith. Remember that God has a plan. I'm an outside influence stirring up your remembrance, or your remembrance. Now, what's interesting is these words that Peter is using about remembering, they're the same words that Jesus used when he was talking about one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. Right? When Jesus was still on the earth with his disciples, in John chapter 14, verse 26, he says this to the disciples. He goes, listen, the Holy Spirit will help you remember everything I've told you. He says, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is actually to remind you of the things that Jesus told you, to remind you. For us, it's remembering the things that we have read in the scriptures. It's remembering truth that God has shared with us. And so Peter says, I want to be the one who helps you remember. But the goal is not that Peter would live the rest of his life, which for him, he's going, I don't think I have a lot of time left, reminding everybody. The goal is actually to cross over. When you look at the rest of the verses, the goal is that you would cross over, that you would be able to remember these things, that it would move from an external influence reminding you of what's true to an internal desire that you would actually make the choice to remind yourself, to remember yourself that which is true, rather than always relying on other people to remind you what's true. You see the transition that's there? It's one thing to have your friend. It's one thing to have your small group co-leader. It's one thing to have your pastor remind you, hey, don't forget that God said this about you. It's another for you to intentionally choose to remind yourself, to have the internal desire, the internal motivation to remember what truth is. Because that's what Peter wanted you to remember. He didn't just want you to remember anything. He didn't want you to remember everything. He wanted you to remember truth. And it begs the question, what is truth? And this is a question that has been asked since, you know, since people have been around. And actually, you get to the Jesus is standing in front of Pilate, right? He's being questioned and investigated, and Pilate actually says, "What is truth? You keep talking about truth. What even is truth, right?" And so it's like this question. And I want to give you a couple of descriptions about what truth is, and then we'll unpack what that is. Here's a few things that I would describe truth. Truth is knowable. Truth is knowable. Truth is greater than the agreement of a group of people. It's greater than the agreement of a group of people. Truth transcends time and culture. Truth is true for all people, no matter their race, no matter their religion, no matter their nationality, no matter their sexual preference, no matter their degree of wealth. Truth is true for all people, no matter what. Truth does not come from within you. You cannot search deep within yourself to find truth. In fact, truth is revealed to you. You can't find truth from within you. Truth must be revealed to you. Truth is unchanging. Truth is reliable. Truth is so far as to say everlasting. That's what truth is. And so truth is true for absolutely everybody. And Peter said, I want you to remember truth. More than anything, I want you to remember truth. And then what he does is he points to two sources of truth that we can use to remind ourselves. Look at verses 16 through 18. He says, hey, here's the first source of truth that I want to remind you of. He says, truth is in Christ, right? That Jesus Christ is truth. Listen, what we've been telling you about Jesus, this is not a story that somebody made up. This is not a myth or legend that's been passed down from generation to generation. That's not what this is. He goes, listen, we were eyewitnesses to the glory of Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses to the honor. We were eyewitnesses to the power of Jesus Christ in this world. And he goes so far as to recount this moment in the Bible that we refer to as the Transfiguration, mainly because we don't know what else to call it, right? And so let me tell you the story. You can find it in three of the Gospels, but in Matthew 17, you don't have to go there, but it's there in Matthew 17. What Jesus does is he takes Peter and James and John, and they go up on a mountain. And when they get up there, the scripture says that Jesus, like all of a sudden, his clothes are just beaming white and his face is shining bright light. And the guys are like, what is going on here? And then when their eyes adjust to the moment, they see they're not alone. But in fact, Moses is now with them and Elijah is now with them, right? It's like you've got Jesus, you've got the most powerful leader in all of Israel, and you have the most powerful prophet in all of Israel, and they're all just hanging out, right? Up here on this mountain while Jesus is like beaming with radiance. And Peter and James and John, they don't know what to do. So they like fall down on their faces before the Lord and just start worshiping. And when that happens, this voice comes booming out of the cloud that says, this is my son. I love him. Listen to him, right? Peter says, I was there. I saw it. I saw what happened to Jesus. I saw Moses and Elijah. I heard the voice. I felt how wet my robe was at the end of this moment, right? I remember everything about it. This is no myth. This is no legend. And Peter's saying, he says, listen, here's the truth that's going to lead you into spiritual growth. Jesus is the Son of God. Here's the truth that's going to lead you into spiritual growth. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Here's the truth that's going to lead you into spiritual growth. Jesus is truth in the flesh. This is who he is, right? And Peter is only expanding on what Jesus himself said. Again, the Gospel of John records for us in chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus is talking with his disciples, and he says this. Many of you, if you've been a part of the church for a while, you have probably heard this quoted or maybe read in the church, and Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so Jesus makes the exclusive claim, I am the truth. Not I know the truth, not I can show the truth to you, not I can lead you to what is true. He says, I am truth. I am the embodiment of truth. And if you want to know what it looks like to be truly human, you have to look at Jesus. If you want to know what it means to truly be human, you look at Jesus. His entire life was centered on one thing: trusting the Lord in every single moment, relying on God in every single situation, being in relationship with God every moment of every day. That's what it means to be truly human. That's what a true, legitimate human life looks like. And that's unchanging. And it's reliable, and it's everlasting. It's true for every single person. It transcends time and culture, right? Jesus is truth. And Peter says, if you're going to remember truth, go to the source of Jesus and remember who he is and remember what he has done. But then he shares a second source of truth. the Bible, right? Truth is in the Bible. And so that's verses 19 through 21, right? Peter says, listen, not only do we have Jesus, but we also have this prophetic message. And when he talks about this prophetic message, he's really talking about the Old Testament, right? Some will go, well, he's talking about all of the Old Testament. Other scholars will say, well, he's only talking about these prophecies about Jesus. Either way, I think we know that Jesus is talking about the Old Testament scriptures, that they're true. And what Peter says about the Bible is he says, listen, the Bible is reliable. The Bible is reliable, all of it. It's all reliable. And then he goes on to say this, you know what it's like? It's like a light in the dark. That's what the Bible's like. The Bible is like a light in the dark. The Bible is like a sunrise that is breaking after it's been night the whole evening, and the sunrise breaks through, and it brings you hope, and it brings warmth to your heart. That's what the Bible's like. It sheds light on everything. What's crazy? You know what's crazy about the sunrise and sunlight? Those things that you were afraid of in the dark, you know, you're like, ah, what was that noise? Oh, they're scratching on the window. It was just a branch, right? You can, when you're in the light, you can see it. You know what it is. You don't have to be freaked out anymore, right? This is what Peter says the scripture is like. And again, you know, I'm not picking on Peter, but what he's saying, it's not original to him, right? He didn't come up with this. He's simply restating what you may have already heard out of Psalm 119, verse 105. In fact, let's do this. Let's read this passage out loud together. This is a memory verse that you might choose to remember this week on your connection card. But let's read it out loud together, starting with, "Your word is a lamp." Are you ready? Go. "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light in the darkness." Your word, it's a lamp. It gives me guidance on where to go. It shows me where the hangups and the tripping spots are, the hazards are. It shows me what I can't see in the dark on my own. And what Peter says is that the Old Testament is not the best ideas of spiritually in tune people or deep thinkers. That's not what the Old Testament is. They're not simply recording historical facts that took place so that we have an accurate record of that which has happened in the past. These are the words of God. These are the words of God because, and what Peter says, he explains, he goes, because the Holy Spirit was actually empowering the writers of the Old Testament to write down what God wanted them to include. They were carried along by the Holy Spirit, right? The same Holy Spirit who one of his ministries is to remind you of the truth that Jesus said is the same Holy Spirit who actually spoke truth through the prophets and the writers of the Old Testament, as well as the writers of the New Testament. You see, the Bible is the only book in all of human history that is from God. There is no other book that can hold that claim. And it reveals truth, right? It's revealing truth to us. And you have to understand that the Bible's a gift. God is not required to give us the scriptures. It's a gift. It is a remarkable gift that God chose to reveal himself to us, to reveal his character, to reveal what he's like. He's generously revealed everything we need to know so that we can be set free from sin and from death and enjoy a healthy relationship with God. The Bible's this great, great gift. And when you read the Bible, God will actually reveal truth about who he is. God will reveal truth about who you are, and God will reveal truth about how you can be with him. And so Peter's simply saying, he goes, listen, reading the Bible, thinking about it, is one of the best ways to be reminded of what's true. And so he says, listen, remembering truth, it's critical. It's critical to spiritual growth. And if you're going to remember truth, look to Jesus and look to the scriptures. That's how you're going to know what's true. Why was Peter so passionate about reminding, helping these believers remember that which is true? I'll tell you why. Because in that day, in the first century, right, 50, 60 AD, following Jesus Christ was not popular. You need to know that. It was not people are going, oh, you're a Christian? Great. Come on. I have all these opportunities for you. No. They had opposition from all kinds of people, right? If you're a Christian, you had an opposition from the Jewish people. If you're a Christian, you had opposition from the Romans and the Gentiles. Why? Because the Jews thought you were a crazy, heretical sect. And the Gentiles said, well, you don't worship any of our gods. Right? You don't come to the temple and worship. You don't worship the emperor. Right? What is wrong with you? And then on top of that, you had some people who would try to combine the truth of Scripture with ideas from the world and put them together and go, oh, no, this is what's actually true. Right? Peter talks about them. We'll talk about them next week as these false teachers. And so you have all of this stuff opposing that which is true. And so Peter says, remind yourself of what is true. You've got to spend time remembering that which is true so you can discern between the two. Remember that Jesus is God and look to the Scriptures, right? That was the situation they were in. Today, Christians are in similar positions, right? It is not the most popular thing in our country to follow Jesus Christ, right? It's weird, it's crazy, it's clunky. Why don't you? That's weird, that's so old, and you know, man, it seems so closed-minded and all that kind of stuff. And on top of that, for our culture right now, largely, our culture has abandoned truth. Our culture has abandoned truth and put it to the side. And what our culture's done in putting truth to the side, what we've pursued instead is we've pursued originality and novelty. Those are actually some of the greatest things in our culture right now. Originality and novelty, right? The desire to be original, the desire to be the only one, or at least the desire to be the first, right? To stay ahead of the trends, to lead the trends, to guide the trends. That is what of greatest value in our culture is to be original and to be new. And maybe one of the worst things in our culture is to be seen as common, because common people get overlooked and ignored. Common people don't have very many followers on their channel. Common people aren't leading the way for culture and society, right? It's those who are original. It's those who are novel. But I want to say this. This pursuit of originality, this pursuit of novelty in our culture right now, is actually led by a deeper desire, but we're pursuing it in another way, right? The desire for originality is actually a misunderstanding of a deeper desire that's within us. You know what the deeper desire is? It's not originality. It's not novelty. It's authenticity. That's what we really desire. More than anything, we desire to be authentic. Stepping into who you truly are, your genuine self, right? That's what we're really desiring, right? It comes and it's masked. It's easier to go after originality. It's much easier to go after newness. But what we really desire deep within us is authenticity. And you cannot find authenticity by looking deep within yourself. You will not find it within you. Authenticity is not there. The only way that you can step into authenticity is when it is revealed to you by the one who created you. That's the only way you can step into authenticity. Authenticity only comes to you when it's revealed to you by the one who has created you, which means that the only pathway to an authentic life is through truth. It's your truth. That's it. It's knowing truth. And truth is revealed to us by God, and he reveals who we really are. That is why you need Jesus. It's why I need Jesus. It's why we need the truth of the Scripture, to be reminded of it time and time again. See, remembering truth will clarify your identity. Remembering truth will cement your identity as well, and you'll be able to step into your authentic self. I want to take just a quick moment, and I'd like to talk to some of our younger people in the church family today, our middle school students, our high school students, our college-age kids, some of our young adults, who you're right on the front edge of going, trying to answer the question, who am I? Who am I going to be? What is the direction, the pathway that my life is going to take? And you're like right on the front edge of this thing, and you have all kinds of decisions, you have all kinds of options, and you have all kinds of messaging in front of you that says you can be whoever you want to be. You just have to look deep within inside of you and discover who that is. And I want to tell you, that's not true. If you want to discover who you really are, you actually have to look to the Lord. You have to look to Jesus Christ. You have to look to the scriptures, because that's where truth is contained. And when you discover truth, and when God reveals truth to you through Jesus and from the scriptures, you actually find out who you were always created to be. And there is nothing that can overwhelm the joy of walking in the life that you are created to be through Jesus Christ. That's it. The reason many are struggling with your identity is you're looking here. And instead, you need to be looking here and here. And when you go here, you run into reliable, unchanging, everlasting truth that will guide your life forever. Now, I know some of our more seasoned people in the room are going, yes, talk to those young people, Fritz. But I need to talk to some of our older generations in the room as well. I'm talking about our parents. I'm talking about our empty nesters. I'm talking about our single people. I'm talking about retired. Because what you and I don't realize is many times we are tempted to take on the identity of our longest held role that we've had in our life and say, that's who I am. I have worked for this company for X number of years. I have been a mom for X number of decades. I have served as a teacher, a governmental person, a business leader, an entrepreneur, and we take on these identities, and they were the longest held role we've had, and so I go, that's who I am. And if you take that on as your identity, you're falling far, far short of what Jesus Christ has for you. You need to be reminded of truth as well. Listen, you are not going to regain your youth because you start a new business. The next nicest, newest camper is not going to help you enjoy life any more than you do right now, right? Your identity has to be found in Christ as well, through remembering that which is true. When you take time to remember truth, it'll actually lead you to trust God more. It'll actually lead you to make decisions that are in line with your new life in Christ. Remembering truth will lead you to grow spiritually. It's so critical. Peter was spot on. Take time to remember, to remind yourself of that which is true through Christ and through the scriptures. So really quick, we're going to go to practical, and then we're going to land this thing. How can we be reminded of that which is true and continue to grow spiritually? I'm going to give you two really low-hanging fruit that's easier, and then I want to spend time on something a little bit more significant. One is this, just, you know, coming to church, being here on Sunday morning. Listen, every single one of our ministries is focused on truth from Scripture and focused on truth about Jesus. That's what we do, right? Our whole mission, the whole reason we exist, is we help people to say yes to Jesus' leadership in their lives. He is the focal point of everything we do. No one else is. It's Jesus Christ alone. And so being a part of Sunday mornings, of small groups, the ministries, Lighthouse Kids, Lighthouse Students, golfing groups, right? Like, you can't even go golfing without having Scripture injected into that, right, around here. This is what we do. And so why? Because we need to be reminded of what is true. So that's one way. Another way is this. Some of you are doing right now is leveraging our online ministries, right? You're joining, you go, I'm traveling, I can't be there, I'm far away from Hancock County, and so you're dialing in with the live stream. I think that's great. You know, another way to leverage that is you can do on-demand, both, you know, mylighthousecommunity.com/live. We've got our podcast on, I don't know what they stream on, but they're out there, and you can get those, but leverage those, because those are ways to remind yourself of that which is true. Those are the two low-hanging. I want to talk really quickly about something a little bit more significant, and it's this. Read the Bible. Some of you are going, I can't believe we got there. You've been gone for 2 weeks and we're there again, right? Read the Bible and think about the truth it contains. If there's anything I can encourage more than that, it's that. Read the Bible and think about the truth that it contains. And if I was going to encourage you very, very practically, please get on a Bible reading plan. Just get on a Bible reading plan. Why? Because they're special and they're inspired by the Holy Spirit? No. Here's why. Because some of you spend more time or waste more time trying to figure out where you're going to read today than you actually do reading the scriptures. And a Bible reading plan just solves it for you. I'm going to read here today, and then, oh, look, it says I'm going to go here tomorrow. I don't even have to think about it. I sit down, and I just start reading. I want to tell you, it does not matter where you read in Scripture. God can speak to you through all of it, even Leviticus, right? I know some of you don't believe that, but he can. By the way, if you're struggling to find a Bible reading plan, that's the next step on your Blue Connection card. Check that box. We'll send you some options. I got a couple that are some of my favorites, and we'll put those in front of you. And now, here's the other thing I would say about reading the Bible and thinking about truth. Read the Bible as often as you can. You know, a lot of people are like, you got to read it every day. I think that's fine. I have no problem with that. Here's what I would say. You know what Psalm chapter 1 says? It says, how can a young man keep his way pure? Meditating on the law day and night. Read it daily. Read it constantly throughout the day. You read it in the morning? Great. You got a few minutes at lunch? Read it again. Got a few moments in the evening? Read it again. Going to bed and want to wind down? Read it again. Why? Because we're remembering truth. We're remembering that which is true. And as you're reading it, do your best not to just read it passively, but read it actively, right? It's questions like this. What is this passage saying? What's it saying? Especially what's it saying about God? What's true about God? What's it saying? The other thing I would say is this. Ask it questions that are personal, right? Read the passage. What's it saying? What's it saying about God? And then say, how does this passage give me guidance on a situation I'm facing right now? How does this passage give me counsel on how to trust God in a very practical way in this situation? Because that's what truth is for. Truth is not meant to simply be known. Truth is meant to be lived. And that's how we grow spiritually, is letting truth come through us. And then write it down, act on it, and trust God. That's how you understand truth, right? If truth only resides here, and it never makes its way here and out of here, what you've gained is knowledge. You have not stepped into truth. You've added knowledge. Truth always makes its way out of our hands, out of our mouths, out of the places we go and the things that we do. So there are some key truths that I think are very, very helpful and central to every believer. And if you grab your Blue Connection card, just really quick, look on the back. There's a guide we've created. Again, we just title things super creatively. This is called the Key Truths to Remember Guide. And if you request that, we'll send that to you tomorrow. And there's just really central truths reminding us of things like, hey, you're created. You're not the happy accident of an uncaring universe. You're the intentional creation of a loving God. And without Jesus, we're in big trouble. We need rescued, right? Like all kinds of different truths that I think will be helpful for you. So if you'd like that, request that. Make sure your email address is on the front. We will send that to you tomorrow. But one of the best ways to remember truth and to grow spiritually is by reading the Bible and thinking about that truth. Now, for the last couple of weeks, my family took a trip out west to Colorado, and we spent 20 plus hours. Well, in fact, that's just driving time. Actually, closer to like 30 some odd hours one way. 8 people in a motorhome, right? which sounds wonderful to many of you. I can tell you're wondering, where can I get mine? But you know, it was great. It was wonderful, and at the same time, that is like a relationship pressure cooker, right? Like, you're like, yeah. And surprisingly or not, just like many of you take vacations with your family, there were moments that were absolutely wonderful and blissful. And then there were other moments that God uses to grow you in holiness and sanctification. We had a couple of those moments. And there was a moment where Christina and I got very aggravated with each other. And actually got to the point where I was actually hurt and I got angry. And I have a friend of mine in small group not too long ago who said this. She said, you know, anger is the bodyguard of sad. I thought, man, that's really true. When I get angry, it's actually I'm protecting something I'm hurt about and I'm sad about, but I don't want you to know it. So it comes out as anger. And so my anger was guarding my hurt. And I chose, and I use that word very specifically, I chose to hang on to that anger for a day, right? I clung to it, I nursed it, I protected it, I fed it for a day, right? And I went to bed angry and hurt. Some of you went, oh, surely you got marriage advice never to go to bed angry. Yeah, you blew through it too. Get over it. All right, listen. And I went to bed angry. And I woke up the next day angry. And in the morning, one of the things that just built into my routine, one of the very first things I do is I read scripture. And so I got up angry. And I opened up my Bible angry. And I was ready to read. If I was going to choose where I was going to read, I was probably going to choose to read in Judges or Joshua somewhere where they wipe them all out, right? But I use a Bible reading plan because I don't trust myself. And that day, I was scheduled months in advance to read Romans 13. And if you've ever read Romans 13 and you remember what it says, there are some key verses in there like, leave no debt outstanding except that debt to love one another. Other verses like, love does no harm to a neighbor. And I read those passages and I thought, clearly there's nothing in here for me. I'll go on to Romans 14. No, I heard. I read those passages, and in that reading of that chapter, I was reminded who God is. I was reminded who I am. I was reminded who Christina is. She's my neighbor. She is the one who I will never pay off the debt to love her. And so I just took time and I asked the Lord for forgiveness. That holding on to that anger and that hurt for a day was wrong and stupid and was dumb. And I asked him for forgiveness. And then when Christina got up, I talked to her and I asked her for forgiveness. I said it was wrong for me to hang on to that for the last day. I needed to be reminded of what was true because I had forgotten. See, there's all kinds of opposition causing us to forget, causing us to miss, to see, to remember who we are in Christ. And Christ reminds us of that, and the scriptures remind us of that. And so, listen, you face situations like mine that I just shared, and some of you face situations that are far more challenging than what I've just described. And you need to be reminded of truth. You need to be reminded of what's true. You face opposition to your faith every day, some externally, some internally. And so we need to make the intentional decision, partnering with the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who reminds us that of which Jesus has said. And we also intentionally choose to remember that which is true. So my question is, who needs to be reminded this week? Today, maybe you do. But here's the question, who do you know that needs to be reminded? Who do you know that maybe needs to hear this truth for the very first time? God could be using you to help them. Listen, as your pastor, I don't want you to waste your life on a lie. I don't. It's my joy to remind you of truth. It's my joy to help us remember that which is true as opposed to that which is not. I want you to choose on your own to remember that which is true. I want you to step into authenticity. I want you to chase after originality. I don't want you to chase after newness. I want you to step into what it means to be genuinely human. Walking with God, relying on Him for absolutely everything. And the only way there is through the truth of Jesus and the truth of Scripture. Remember that which is true. I want to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes and ask Jesus this one question. Jesus, what are you saying to me right now? And I want to give you a moment to listen to Him. want to remind you, or maybe let you know for the first time, that one of the things we're passionate about at Lighthouse Community is prayer. And so we want to pray for you. What's going to happen is the band's going to come up and they're going to lead us in just one more song. And while they're doing that, we have prayer leaders who are available in the four corners of the room. I'm going to ask them to go there and be ready to receive you this morning. And you can go to one of those corners and share a prayer request about anything with any of those leaders, and they are ready to pray with you, literally about anything. And you don't have to be a member of Lighthouse Community to receive prayer. You don't ever have to be embarrassed about wanting to receive prayer, because every single one of us needs prayer. I need prayer. You need prayer. We all need prayer. And so in just a moment, I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to invite you to come forward. And so anytime during this last song that you want to receive prayer, you can just come, and we would love to pray for you. So I'm going to ask those who are in the house right now, will you stand with me as we transition into singing? Then I'm going to pray for you and invite you to come forward. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw every single person who needs prayer right now, in Jesus' name, amen. If you want to receive prayer, don't wait. We would love to pray with you.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.